The universe is big. We're small. God may feel far away, but he's not. This is the You're Not Alone podcast, and I'm your host, Pastor Dave Andrus. Yesterday, I was outside finishing a little bit of work up on the deck, and I said to myself, kind of out loud, now, where did I put that? And to my surprise, I just about jumped out of my skin. My daughter said, what are you looking for? Oh, my gosh, I didn't even know she was sitting there. How she got there or whatever, I don't know. I was just looking for a board or something. And I was just asking myself out loud. And I'm sure some of you have done the same thing, whether you're blind like me, talking out to loud to yourself and not knowing someone is there and somebody says something, or whether you're sighted and then jump out of your skin because someone's behind you and they say something. It reminded me, actually, of a poem I'd read from C.S. Lewis. I'd read it a couple weeks earlier, and so I had to dig it out. It was from Letters to Malcolm. It reads as follows. C.S. Lewis said, I've just found in an old notebook that a poem with no author's name attached. This poem is rather relevant to something we were talking about just a few weeks ago. I mean, the haunting fear that there's no one listening and that what we call prayer is just soliloquy. Then quotations, soliloquy, somebody talking to himself, end of quote. This writer, Lewis goes on, takes by the bull by the horns and writes. Here is the poem. They tell me, Lord, that when I seem to be in speech with you, since but one voice is heard, it's all a dream. One talker, not two. Sometimes it is. Yet not as they conceive it. Rather, I seek in myself the things I hope to say. But lo, my wells are dry. Then, seeing me empty, you forsake the listener's role, and through my dumb lips breathe into an utterance awake. The thoughts I never knew. And thus you neither need reply nor can. Thus, while we seem two talkers, though are one forever, and I no dreamer, but am thy dream. Lewis finishes by saying, is he not right in thinking that prayer in its most perfect state is soliloquy? Soliloquy, you maybe heard of it. An example would be in a play that he's kind of talking to himself. I wonder what, and kind of to set the scene for what's coming next. In cartoons or whatever, it's usually a thought bubble. I wondered about prayer. And sometimes I bet you do too. You're talking. And it seems like God's not listening. Well, all this kind of coagulated to one simple thing. A Bible verse I'd read. Oh, about 2 weeks ago, about the same time this poem came through, and I didn't put them together right away, but I did today. And now I'd like to read to you from 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah was just a victorious conqueror over the prophets of Baal in a showdown, you might speak, on top of a mountain where he asked God to pour down fire to destroy the sacrifice he had put on the altar. It's, by the way, at the same time, the prophets of Baal did the same, but their sacrifice wasn't burned up. So Elijah said, when it was his turn, please, Lord, show them that you are the Lord. And it did. It burned it all up. Well, you'd think they would have believed all of this, but no. Queen Jezebel said, hunt him down and find him. So Elijah was hiding in a cave. Kind of, you'd say, feeling sorry for himself. Lord, I've done all these things. I have been faithful, and yet now they're after me. And so the Lord says, this is 1 Kings 19, verse 11. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. Verse 13, it says, when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. You know, the first three things, the wind, the earthquake, now I'm done reading that, by the way, the wind, the earthquake, the fire, this is kind of a throwback to Mount Sinai when God gave the Ten Commandments in power and might. And that's how we think God has to respond. But no, sometimes in prayer, it's just a quiet whisper. And sometimes, as this poem talks about, when our wells are dry, God breathes through our lips. But now for God to do that, we have to be in constant prayer asking him for guidance and help, and then stop and listening and let his spirit that is within us fill those wells and our lips with the words he wants. It's a slow process, but it is a process in which God does speak to our souls. And if you ever question, did God really mean this? Check out the Word of God. Is it confer with it? Is there something that the Word of God says that isn't true? Well, then don't believe it, because we know that God's Word, the Bible, is true. And so as you pray, pray patiently, knowing and believing that God hears and listens and that he will work through your spirit, and even in that gentle, quiet whisper. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that prayer isn't just us talking and nobody listening. We thank you that you are always listening and that you, by your Spirit, work through our heart and soul and mind and through your Word to convey a message to us. Lord, give us faith. Faith first to hear and then faith to believe. We ask this of Jesus in your name. Amen. So next time you're in a room and someone says something and you're shocked, remember, that's sometimes how God speaks to us as well. Love to hear from you. You can write me at dave.andrus, A-N-D-R-U-S, at not-alone.net. Thanks. I'm only an email away. dave.andrus at not-alone.net.